We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, boy, bad times, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. But look at verse 18. He said, even though all of these terrible things happen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet or deer. And he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer of my stringed instruments. And I want to use this scripture as I say, and I have never, I don't think, I may have had, I don't know, preached from this book. But as I was trying this week to find something and trying to get a message from the Lord, and just flipping through the Bible and saying, Lord, give me something, lay something on my heart, let something jump out to me that I can use to stand. And so I looked at this here, and God showed me this here. And so I believe with all my heart that this is the message for this morning. And if I would take a text this morning, it would be thank God anyhow. Thank God anyhow. Now this verse here, these verses, these three verses that I read here in your hearing this morning, represents one of the greatest confessions of faith that you'll find in the Bible. There's probably not many confessions of faith that you'll find in all the Bible that is equal to this right here. Now, should everything around me fail, he's saying. He said the fields, the don't bear the crops. He says the figs and don't bear their fruit. And he said all the cattle and all those kind of things should perish. And everything that should happen, he says, then even though all of these things are going to happen or has happened, he says, I am going to thank God anyway. I'm going to be rejoice in the Lord anyway. Now, just a little history lesson here that goes along with this message this morning. In 1620, 102 pilgrims was here, and 56 of those pilgrims, of those 102, 56 of them died due to starvation and diseases and cold weather. And then the next year, in 1621, those 46 remaining pilgrims, the ones that did not die, and 91 Indians met to give thanks for a bountiful harvest and for the preservation of their lives. Now, these folks had every reason to be depressed. These folks had every reason to be discouraged because of all the death and the disease and the hardship and those things that had happened. But they chose to be thankful. They chose to thank God. And so here, the book of Habakkuk, It was written against a backdrop of apostasy. It was written against a backdrop of judgment and unbelievable hardship. If you have ever read the book and studied the book, it was written during a time when Jehoiakim was the king of Judah. And he led the people back into adultery, and he led them away from the Lord. And so as a result, about this happening, the king leading the people back into adultery and away from the Lord, as a result, God is preparing to judge the nation. And so Habakkuk here is having trouble understanding why that God would use a heathen nation like Babylon to punish his people. Now, he just could not understand why God was doing this. He cannot understand why God doesn't just purge their sins and draw them back to himself and to righteousness. Why does he want to use a heathen nation? And so Habakkuk is a lot like Job. In other words, he argues his case. In other words, I don't know whether any of you all have ever questioned God or ever asked God why or ever argued with God, but he did then, and he argues his case, but in the end, he realizes that God is not to be worshipped merely because of the temporal, the material, and the physical blessings of life, but God is rather to be worshipped because for who he is. Now listen, we know that we're living in a time that that's the main way people think. They have really got praise and testimony for God when everything is going good in their lives. When they're healthy and their bills are being paid and their marriage is going good and the children are doing good, then they know it's not hard to get them to get up on the floor and testify and give glory and honor to the Lord. But when things when the children are sick, whenever the car is torn up, whenever the roof on the house leaks and going to have a replacement, when the air conditioner quits and it's 98 degrees outside, and all these kind of things, then it's hard to get them to get up on the floor and give a testimony. Right. So what am I saying? I'm saying it's that I should not worship God just because he gives me a new car, gives me a new house, or I'm feeling good in body. But rather, God is deserving of worship because of who he is. Amen. And this is what Habakkuk was saying. Yeah. Habakkuk was saying things are bad here. He says things are really desperate here. But he says God is not to be worshipped just because of material things. But he's to be worshipped because of who he is. And so here, as we look at this, and then he ends his words with a song of thanksgiving to God for who he is, for the unchanging benefits that belongs to those who know him. I want you to know here this morning, if you're here and you're a Christian and you're saved, that you have some benefits by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior that never changes. The peace and the joy and the contentment. So Habakkuk has a reason to fret, but he chose to be thankful instead. Now the key words here in these verses are although and yet. Habakkuk is saying, I sure don't understand all this happening, but I'm going to thank God anyway. Are there any of you here this morning that things are happening in your life that you don't understand why they're happening? Are there things here in your life, are you here this morning and something has happened and going on and taking place in your life that you cannot explain? And if you would try to reason it out, you would see a better way that God seemingly that God would could handle that than the way that he's handled it. I'm sure they are. But could I say to you this morning, the best thing for you to choose to do is, you can't understand it and you can't explain it. The best thing for you to do is to choose and say, no matter what's going on, I choose that I'm going to thank God anyhow. Yeah. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to bless his holy name for who he is.
Now I want to take these verses and show you that regardless of how things may look on the surface, everyone that's sitting here this morning, you have a reason to thank God anyway. And so the first thing I want you to see is, you can thank God for His sovereignty, because His sovereignty never changes. Now circumstances changes, but God never changes. My circumstances is different today than they were yesterday. My circumstances may be different tomorrow than there was today. But we know here that circumstances changes continually. But God never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." In other words, things changes. I think I gave the illustration here the other night, how things changes. 7 years of planning in Egypt. And then things suddenly changed. Then there were 7 years of famine in Egypt. And then you think about Job's life. You think about all his wonderful family that he had, his children and his wife and all of his cattle and his livestock and everything that he had. And then the very next instant, it was all gone. Y'all remember, some of you here remembers the Great Depression that we had happen in this country. Overnight, people lost everything they had. And it was so devastating. One day had a good future outlook, had savings in the bank, and had all these kind of things. Then overnight, it changed. The fact that people were committing suicide and all those kind of things. And then our own economy today, how it changes. And so we understand today that circumstances changes, but God never changes. I may not be able to rejoice in my situation, but I can always rejoice in His sovereignty. There's times though, and I'm hurting, I can't rejoice in that, but I can always rejoice in that I know and I worship and I claim God, and He is sovereign, He is supreme power, He can do anything. There's nothing that He cannot do. That never changes. There's nothing too hard for the Lord to do. And so, here Habakkuk, he is painting a bleak picture of the future. Now, if you're looking physically at this country, if you're looking physically at what you can see, I want you to know that the future looks pretty bleak. I don't see things looking much better. But Habakkuk, he looks away to God. And he says right here, "I know that God and what I have and the promises that I have in Him and the security that I have in Him will never change. He's always there with me. He'll never leave me. He will never forsake me." So, Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent, the eternal, before God was before everything, He'll be after everything. He's eternal. No beginning, no end. He is eternal. He is changeless. He is covenant-keeping God. He is, as God, Moses asked him, said, when they asked God, said, "Whenever they asked me, who sent me?" God says, "Just tell them the great I am." He is the great I am. The one that we can depend on in desperate times. He's the one that we can trust in troublesome times. He's the one that we can believe during unbelievable times. We can lean on Him at all times. And so we may not always know what He's doing. I'm here the first one to tell you that. I'm first one to tell you that people have come to me and says, "Why, preacher, is this happening in my life? What have I done?" I don't have the answer for that. A lot of times you haven't done nothing. A lot of times God just allowing it to happen for some reason that we know not. Sometimes God just allows it for a reason that we know is for our good, but we don't understand it. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," God says. "Neither are your ways my ways," saith the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts." I don't think like God. You don't think like God. God's thoughts are far higher. We think on the finite way. And so he says here, we may not always understand, but we can always trust him to do what is right.
That's right.
So God, I don't understand, but I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to criticize, disgruntled. I'm not going to be discouraged. I don't know what's happening, but I know one thing. It may be happening and I can't understand it, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to thank you anyway for who you are. I'm going to give you praise for who you are, God, because I know you love me. I know, God, that you want what's best for me. And I know, God, that what you're doing in my life is eventually going to be what's best for me. And so he says here, Habakkuk then, he said, "I don't understand." And I say this so many times at funerals. When someone dies unexpectedly or somebody dies at a young age, I always say this: you can't always trace God and figure out why this happened. But you can always trust God. You can always trust God. We may not always understand the plan, but we can trust him to have the very best plan. Look what Jeremiah 29:11 says. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," God says. God said, "I know how I'm thinking towards you." God's saying right now here in this church house, did you know that God has personal thoughts towards you? He has personal thoughts toward every one of us that is sitting here in this congregation this morning. God said, "I know what my thoughts are towards you. I know what I think towards you," saith the Lord. He said, "I have thoughts of peace." He said, I want you to have peace. I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want you to be depressed. I don't want you to be filled with anxiety. I don't want you troubled and wondering what in the world is going on and what's happening and be terrified of everything. He said, "My thoughts towards you is that you have peace."
Yes.
That you have peace that passes understanding. And he says, "Not of evil." I don't have evil thoughts towards you. I don't want evil things to happen to you. But he says to give you an expected end. And so here the Bible says that, "For we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." No matter how things may appear, and let me say this to you. No matter how things may appear, God is still in control. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. God's still in control. This world looks like it is fleeing out of control. It looks like that we're headed for the worst mess that we could ever think about, ever getting into. But could I tell you, God is still in control.
Amen.
God is still in control in your life. God is still in control in your marriage. God is still in control in your family. You may not understand, but God is in control. Now, man may think they control the situations in the world, but I have news for them. God can always override them. God is in control. And so he still knows best, and he always does what is right. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Absolutely. He'll do right. If I can believe this, if I can believe that God will always do right, if I can believe that God, whatever's happening in my life, that God is letting it happen because he knows that what is happening is the best thing for me. If I can believe that, then I can live in this three verses in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. If I don't believe that, then I can't live by these verses. These verses are this right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. If I don't believe that God is doing what's best, if I don't believe that God has a plan and God has a purpose for what He's allowed to happen in my life, then I can't rejoice evermore. I'll rejoice when everything's going good. I'll complain when everything that I think is not as the way that I would desire them to be. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything gives thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. The trials, the hardships. It's hard to thank God for those things, isn't it? It's hard to see those things as a gift from God to help you. But when you're in the center of God's will, that is true. He'll always be God. Therefore, we can thank Him anyhow. And then the next thing I want you to see is, not only thank God because His sovereignty never changes, He never loses His power, He's always almighty, all-powerful, still in control. You always thank Him for that. He's not lost control. If you look down in the last part of verse 18, thank God His salvation never ceases. Things may get bad in this life, but things do not affect my salvation.
Right.
No matter what's going on, those things don't affect my salvation. You can rejoice in that you're saved.
Yes.
You can rejoice that no matter what comes, it's not going to affect my salvation.
Amen.
And so here this morning is what He's saying. He's saying that these things will not affect my salvation. Salvation does not depend on things going well. Boy, if it did, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? If salvation depended on everything going well in my life, but I'm saved even though I'm hurting. I'm saved even though I can't pay my bills. I'm saved even though the car broke down. I'm saved no matter if the children are sick. I'm saved. Salvation rests solely on the grace and the power of God. And so life is uncertain at best. Go home today from church. Life is uncertain at best. Go home from church today. Sit down. The telephone rings. One phone call could change your life. You could go to the doctor tomorrow. And one doctor visit could change your life. When you get the news, life changes. What is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little while. And then it vanishes away. Don't say, tomorrow I'll go into such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain. But rather say, if it's the Lord's will, I will go and do and buy and sell. Things changes. Just anything can change your life. Salvation is eternal in nature. The word salvation applies to more than just a soul. Usually when we think of salvation, we think of the saving of the soul from perishing in a place called hell. But that word salvation also means deliverance. And it means rescue. And that reminds me that this world is not my home. Could I remind you of that, church? Could I remind you that this world is not your home? This is not where you're going to live at eternally.
Man.
That whatever's happening in your life right now, it's only temporal. Compared to eternity, as we said the other night, it is just for a moment. Just a little while, and then you're going to be able to escape it and get away from it. Where you're headed, these things that are bothering you right now can't go. And so we need to remember, He's coming to rescue. And He's coming to deliver His children one of these days. As the verse of Scripture that Pam has taught us, wanted us to rememberize, that assures us that one day that Jesus is coming back in the clouds of glory to get the church. He's going to say, church, enough suffering, enough persecution. Come up hither. We that are saved will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. After the dead in Christ is risen first. And then we are revived, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What happens to me, preacher, if I'm not saved? It's going to take place if I don't get saved. And that event would happen this afternoon. Well, you'd be left behind. We'd go through, and at the first it would seem like things was better. Those politicians would come on television and they'd say something. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether they've gone somewhere else or somewhere else, found them another place in the world. But those bigots and all those people that claim to be Christian, they're gone. Boy, we're going to have a good time. Seems that way for 3.5 years. And then all of the wrath and the judgment is turned loose on this earth. You don't want to miss the rapture. You want to be ready. But we take courage here today that Jesus is coming back for us one day. Things may get very bad here. But this world is not our home. We're just pilgrims from strangers passing through. We're headed for a better land, thank God. For a better land. Not knowing much in this world, but sadness and heartbreak and those kind of things as far as family is concerned. Burying one family member after another. Listen, but boy, I thank God that I'm going to a place where death can't go. It's going to be better. It's going to get better. Things may get bad here, but things cannot take away my salvation. Jesus said in John 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Listen, I want to thank God anyway for who God is. He's the Savior of my soul. He is the one that has prepared me a place to go to. That I can leave all of this sickness and sadness and sorrow and death and heartbreak, heart pain and all these type of things. I can leave those things behind and go where they'll never touch me again. Who made that possible for me? His name is Jesus. I'm going to thank God anyway, no matter what the situation is in my life. I'm going to thank Him anyway, because God's children are saved to the uttermost. And boy, that's getting saved about as good as you can get saved is to the uttermost. Those old preachers used to say, He can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Aren't you glad that God can still save old sinners that's down in the gutter? And if they'll just look to Jesus, no matter what the sin, kind of sins they committed or what kind of life they're living, Jesus is able to save them to the uttermost. May lose everything here, I don't know. But I cannot lose Him. What He's given me. I can't lose that. They can do anything they want to. They can take away my Bible, as Michael Combs said. They can lock me in jail. They can do all these things. But they cannot take away my salvation.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church. Or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.